great. So welcome to The Rock. My name is Pastor Brian. Glad to have you. Merry Christmas. I hope it was wonderful. You got everything that you asked Santa Claus for. I hope that worked out well for you. Now it's time to recover as we're rolling into the new year, right? And so, like most of you guys are well aware, this time tomorrow is a brand new day for many of us. It's our first day of our new life, our new and improved goals and resolutions, or whatever it is that we're striving to do or accomplish. We want to do a better job next year, and we're less than 24 hours away. Maybe that's lose a few pounds, or quit smoking, or drink less caffeine, or drink more caffeine, or talk less, or talk more, read more, whatever it is. By 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, we're going to come to a really hard realization. We're going to be like, oh, wait, this is a lot harder than it seemed it was going to be yesterday. This actually is going to take a lot of work. This doesn't happen overnight. There's not an app I can download to lose 10 pounds. No, that happens the old-fashioned way, all right? That starts by going to the grocery store. In changing your habits, that means forever, from here until forever, I'm no longer going to walk down the candy aisle, and I'm going to give up the frozen pizzas and the Stouffer's lasagna and the cherry Pepsi for brown rice and broccoli and chicken and water. Ugh, it's just awful. And then you actually have to go and exercise, right? So you have to go get the gym membership, and then you have to actually go to the gym. And then you actually have to get on the treadmill, and then you actually have to press the start, and then you actually have to start walking on that thing, and then you'll black out for a little bit, and then you'll wake up about 45 seconds later, and you'll realize there's still like 9/10 of a mile left to go, and then when all that torture's over, you finally get to go home, but now you have to eat the food that you bought at the grocery store. Not a good idea, huh? It's really hard. It's not very encouraging. Making resolutions and goals. It takes a lot of work to be successful. You hearing what I'm saying? And just like a new year makes many of us take inventory on our lives and start from the beginning and get on the right track with these new resolutions and these goals and these things we want to change and improve on in the future, so too, I believe it's good for us as Christians to examine our lives, to take inventory, make sure that we're on the right track with Jesus, because Jesus cares about our life. In John 10, Jesus said it this way. He says that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus cares about us. In John 14, he says, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. This God who created us and made us and sustains us, he desires for us to have an abundant and full joyful life, and not just mentally and physically healthy, but he most importantly cares about our spiritual health. That's true healthy living. And maybe you're joining us this morning and you're in a season of life where you don't even know what to do. You don't even know where to start. You don't really know what needs to change. Relationships are a mess. There's a lot of bitterness. There's loneliness. There's heartache. Maybe you're wandering spiritually. You're struggling to find purpose for your own life. My friend, God cares about you. He cares about your life. Your life matters to God. And his word is for you and for all of us. And for the next 10 weeks, 11 weeks of this Healthy Living series, we're going to be talking about our spiritual wellness and health in all areas of our life and every stage of life. We're going to be diving into our relationships and marriages and conflict and communication. And we're going to be talking about how to raise kids, how to raise little babies, and when those little babies start growing mustaches. We're going to be talking about conflict and money and contentment and sex and gender and identity and how to maintain, how to fight for joy in every season of life when everything just seems to be maybe falling apart. In every stage of our lives, whether you're single, you're a teenager, you're a mommy, you're a daddy, you're a grandma, you're a grandpa, you're an empty nest, or whatever the season of life may be, God desires for you in that moment to be full of joy. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Jesus, we thank you that we could sing and worship you this morning. I thank you that I get the opportunity to spend time with my family here, your church. Father, we ask that you would bless us. You'd give us hearts that are willing to hear from you this morning. And then give us hearts that are willing to be impacted. Hearts, help us leave here with hearts that are changed. We want to be more on fire for you, Jesus. We want to roll into the new year and the rest of our lives, new and improved, healthy in every way, Jesus. But more importantly, our spiritual health. Will you help us to examine where we are today and where we need to move next? We love you, Jesus. I ask that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth would be acceptable in your sight, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Rock, our Redeemer, and who we trust. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. All right. So I named this message Navigating Life. Sorry if you saw that. It's kind of cute. But I think it's vital, it's important that we set the right trajectory with our life. That's where we must begin. We need to set the right course for our lives. If you have your handouts, you can follow along. There's also the Rock Church app. All the message blanks are there, but you can follow along with me. But we need to set the right course every day, right, bright and early when you wake up. We need to set the course every day of our lives. In Psalm 119, like we were just talking about, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This needs to be every morning of our lives. God's word sets for us the course that leads to life, to true spiritual health. God's word is the light in darkness. There are so many ideas out there. There are so many things that want to get your life on track. Who you should marry, what to look for in a spouse, who you're most compatible with, whose zodiac sign I'm most compatible with. That's always just a total joke, right? It's like, you're most compatible with somebody who was born on a day that ends with the letter Y. It's like, okay. How to raise our children, how to win friends and influence people, how much money you should be making at this age, and how big of a house that you should have at this age, and how many cars and toys you should have by this age, and how much money you should have in retirement now, and how to be a leader at home and in the workplace, and how to spend your money, and how to be happy and be fulfilled, from motivational speakers to TV stations and radio programs to life coaches to aisles and aisles of self-help books. They're all dedicated to providing a service for you, programs to help you all grow, all for a price, right? It's a billion-dollar industry. But there's only one book that's God-breathed. This book, the Bible. And it's free. There's only one opinion that hasn't changed over years with the world and the culture's declining, changing standards. One book that has withstood the tests of time, God's word. Isaiah 40 tells us that this book is eternal. Jesus says so. He says, my words will never fade away. In 2 Timothy 3, it tells us that this book is God-breathed. In Isaiah 55, it says that no man's thoughts, no man's wisdom is higher or greater than God's wisdom and thoughts. Proverbs 30 tells us that every word of God proves true. And 1 Peter 1 says that this book, this word has the power to bring spiritually dead people to life. One book. Only one word can do that. And yet the latest statistic that I was reading this week was that 82% of Christians in America only read their Bibles when they're at church. And most of y'all didn't even bring a Bible today. Think about that. 8 out of 10 people on your row, statistically, the chances are you're one of the 8, say that their life depends on this book and yet will not pick it up again until we meet in this room next week. I did the math. I Googled it. There's 168 hours in a week. And Pastor Josh would be so proud of me, but I did the math. We spend about 1.5 hours a week at church, so I rounded that up to 1%. So 1.68 of our hours a week is spent in the local church. That means 99% of the rest of our life is being bombarded by whatever and whoever else. There's an attack on our joy and our contentment and our marriage and our purity and our children from every angle. There's 168 hours a week of you enjoying TV shows and movies and reality stars, coworkers and classmates and the entertainment industry and advertising, and they're just blasting us with what's going to make us happy, how we should think, how we should feel, what we should do to live a better life. And then we think that we will stand in victory in our marriages, in our parenting, and in our relationships, and in our joy when we throw in 1% of God's word in the mix on a Sunday morning. Can you imagine if that was a boxing match? You stepped into the ring with the undisputed heavyweight Mike Tyson. Oh, that would be terrifying. 12 rounds with that guy, and he just punches you in the nose 99 times. And then 2 seconds left in the 12th round, you get one little jab into the midsection. Who won? You got spanked. We have to set the right course if we want to win. Our spiritual health is in jeopardy if we're not setting the course for our lives, if we're not absorbed in God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. God's word is the light to my path. It tells me where to go. And it's not like we can't afford it, right? Spotify is 10 bucks a month. Starbucks, 5 bucks a day, 2-3 times a day, 4 times, 7 times a week. The gym's 15, 20, 30 bucks a month. Getting your nails filled's 20 bucks a pop. Xbox Live's 10 bucks easy, right? Cable's 50, 100 bucks a month. This book's free. It's free. You can have it. If you don't have a Bible, it is our gift today for you to come to Connections Booth. I want to give you a Bible. You can have it. Take it. It's free. It's God's word. It has the power to change lives. Amen. Is this book, is God's word setting the course for your life? Set the right course. His word is the lamp to our feet. It illuminates wisdom in truth. It gives us the right way to think, and it protects us from stepping in darkness, walking in error. It is the light to my path. The course that God has set for you is found in this book. And God desires for us to be spiritually healthy in every stage of our life. Let's be honest, life's going to bring lots of different stages. So many different seasons, from childhood to adulthood, from singleness to being a spouse, from parent to grandparent. And then there's lots of different variables, scenarios in there as well, right? Being a single parent and being a widow, maybe being an empty nester, from jobless to job career, from extreme joy and happiness to tremendous, incredible pain and worry and despair and grief. And yet God desires for us to be spiritually healthy in every stage of life. When things are good, the marriage is great, the kiddos are great, finances are good, hallelujah, praise God, I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, you're doing a wonderful thing. But what about when marriages are getting hard and you're not communicating with your spouse, or the kids are absolutely out of control, you feel absolutely alone and abandoned? You're not where you expected to be in life. Family's going through struggles. Your body is breaking down. Your heart is broken and you're completely restless. What about then? God's word is still the same. God tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, especially when things get bad, right? We're prone to wander. Our hearts start being, go to this, maybe that'll make you. It's like, no. Do not lean on your own understanding, your own 3-pound brain, which I heard recently. They say we only use like 10% of our brain. That's not very impressive. I thought I used at least 12%. Do not lean on your own understanding when we're hit with these trials, because there's so many bad influences for us that show up and they want to get behind the wheels of our lives. There's so many crooked paths to take. Trust in the Lord when life gets hard. When you run into real problems, Christian, we're not immune to life. when you run into some real problems, who are you listening to? Who's setting the course? Who's navigating that ship? What are you listening to? Some of the worst advice somebody can give you, or maybe you've given it to yourself, just do whatever's gonna make you happy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As long as it makes you happy, just follow your heart. You know what I say to that? Get behind me, Satan. That's horrible advice. Because what about this? Okay, you know what? I'm not doing good. I'm not happy. You know what's going to make me happy? Drinking this whole bottle of booze is going to make me happy. Or you know what? My wife, my husband, my spouse is not making me happy. So I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to find someone or something that will make me happy. I'm going to get online and I'm going to find someone or something that's going to make me happy. My children are a disaster. They're not making me happy. I don't want to go home. I'm just going to stay at work. I don't want to go home. I'm going to find somewhere to be because that's going to make me happy. Not having any money, that really doesn't make me happy. So you know what? They keep sending me these plastic things in the mail. I'm just going to keep swiping them and buying things because it's making me happy. Terrible advice. Follow your heart. Do whatever is going to make you happy. No. Do not lean on your own understanding. When life gets hard, sometimes the most dangerous person to listen to is yourself. Sometimes it's not about being happy in the moment. It's about doing what's right. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not do that. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus. He will make your straight your path. He is the lamp to our feet. Let Jesus navigate, set the course for your life. He has good plans for us in every single season. So what are some keys, some essential elements that will help us to stay this course? Three keys to healthy living. Number one, healthy living begins, it starts with knowing God. Jesus said so himself in John 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Knowing God personally is essential to life. Healthy living is impossible without knowing Jesus. You are quite literally incomplete without him. We are made by him. We are made through him. In his image, he made us, he formed us, and in his love, he creates us and sustains us. He has purchased us as Christians, as believers. We have been purchased and ransomed. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Healthy living begins with knowing that God, knowing him, that he's real and personal, and he loves us, and he's adoring, and he's compelling, and he's an intimate, real person who knows me. Eternal life, healthy living hangs on if I truly know God. Do you know God personally? Here's not what I'm asking, okay? I'm not asking, do you know stuff about God? I'll give you an example. I can tell you I know Aaron Rodgers. I even have a picture with him to prove it. I can tell you. I know this guy. Plays on the Green Bay Packers, born December 2nd, 1983, which is weird that I'm only a month younger than him. Went to Cal, 24th pick in the 2005 draft, Super Bowl 50, MVP and champion. Can I get an amen? All the saints just agreed with me right there. Y'all heathens need to pray. But you would say, yeah, okay, yeah, clearly Brian knows Aaron. Now, if you were to ask Aaron Rodgers about Brian Edwards, he would go, who's that? I don't know. You see, you can know a lot about a person and not actually know them. I don't know anything about Aaron Rodgers, and he knows even less about me. When my life gets tough, when I'm rolling through some mess, my knowledge about Aaron Rodgers is going to help me in absolutely no way whatsoever. Knowing stuff about God and actually knowing God are two very different things. Healthy living begins with knowing God. Do you know him in a life-changing way? Just like you can know a lot about diet and exercise, but it means absolutely nothing if you don't actually let it affect the way you live. Diet and exercise changes my eating habits. It changes my sleeping habits. It changes what I'm going to allow into my cupboards. In an infinitely more important way, knowing God's going to change my decisions and my thoughts and my words and my anger and my direction and my temptations. Every stage and every area of my life is going to be affected on my knowledge of God, that I know him and he knows me. Healthy living starts with knowing God. Healthy living, number two, is sustained. It's sustained by walking with God. And this happens the day that you became a Christian person. Paul teaches us this in Philippians chapter 1. He says it this way. He says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God's doing a new thing in your life, and he will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. The day you became a Christian is the first day of your life walking with God. And that was just the beginning. This is what we call sanctification. It's a cool word. Look it up for Scrabble. It's worth like 30-something points. But at this lifelong process, this lifelong walk with Jesus, when we were born again, when we trusted in Christ as Savior and Redeemer, and we've been forgiven, on that day and every day since that day, God has been at work in our lives, conforming us to be more like Jesus. Every day walking with God means I'm becoming less like my old self and more like Jesus. Apostle Paul says it another way. He uses language like this. He says in Colossians chapter 2, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk with him. You know him. Walk with him. When you know someone, you're walking with them. You're doing life with them. And the longer you walk alongside another person, the more you're getting to know them. Me and my older brother, Brandon, we used to walk home from school together. It was a great time, right? Like most kids, we walk home from school. It was really cute. And we would talk about our days, you know, how the day went, what was good, what was bad. What's going to be, I wonder what Brady Bunch episode it's going to be. Oh, I can't wait to get home to watch Brady Bunch. You know, it's going to be so fun. But I mean, that's very normal for, I guess, brothers in the late 80s, early 90s to talk about Brady Bunch. But anyways, I learned a lot walking, doing life. Those moments I had with my brother, they helped shape me and mold me. And now here's the thing, my older brother, Brandon, he's autistic. He has autism. So a lot of the stuff that he's interested in, not very interesting. He's into a really obscure U.S. and world history and birthdays and death days of celebrities and events that happened on this day. He's quicker than Google. It's really impressive. You asked him what happened on March 13th, 1972. He would tell you quicker than you could type it. It's incredible. But as I walked with him, I learned from him. He would teach me things that I wasn't necessarily interested in whatsoever. Like, trust me, being a 7-year-old little dude and walking home from your school, and your brother is telling you about every single witness that was present at the assassination of President John F. Kennedy at 12:29 p.m. on November 22nd, 1963, at Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. That is not very interesting when you're 7 years old. But did you know what? I've learned that for some reason. It's like, huh, all of a sudden over time, that came a little bit more interesting. Oh, that's the things that my brother enjoys have slowly become things that I enjoy. But each day we had this time together, I was learning from my older brother how to communicate with my brother. Our affections were growing for one another. Walking with someone and talking with someone, knowing someone, it goes hand in hand. And it's the same with Jesus. Like Paul says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk with him. That's who you are now. When we are walking with him, we are growing in our knowledge and our understanding and our affections towards Jesus. And we are walking on this path that he has set for us, this path that leads to real healthy living. And this walk with God, this walk with Jesus, does not happen overnight. It is a lifetime pursuit. It is setting the course towards Jesus every single day. You will not master it overnight. There is not an app you can download to perfect it. Knowing God and walking with God is a lifelong process, and that's why we must strive as believers to be forever learners. Forever learners. In Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul says this. Here's that language again. It's very consistent in the New Testament, walking with God. Walk in the newness of life. Walk not in the passions of the flesh. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and here we go, increasing in our knowledge of God. Increasing. Forever learners. We as Christians, we are called disciples, and disciple means learner, a learner. That's our DNA as Christians. Strive to be forever learners, increasing in the knowledge of God in every stage of our life. Are we making efforts? Are we striving to continue to learn, to grow in our relationship with Jesus? Are we picking up our Bibles, expecting God to talk to us? And when we're done reading the Bible, do we start all over and go at it again? And then we repeat that forever. The more we learn about God, we're going to learn more about ourselves and our marriage or our singleness or my identity or my pride and my affections. Trust me, when I started reading this Bible as a 23-year-old punk kid, very different now being a daddy and a husband. It's like, wow, it's almost like it's a new book every single time. Isn't that weird that God's word does that? It's living and active. God's word never changes, and yet it continues to change me. As we are walking with God, as we are growing with God, as we are learning from God, he is going to continue to shape and mold our character and our faith and our relationships and our desires. He's nourishing us. He's feeding us. Healthy living is not possible if you're starving yourself spiritually. You can't do that. Jesus said this way in Matthew 4, chapter 4, King Jesus himself. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Amen. God's word. Jesus tells us that our wellness and our health is so much more than diet and exercise. God's word is essential to healthy living. Is God's word essential to you? Like a pacemaker is to a heart for its survival. You can't survive without it. Is God's word, is this Bible vital to your life like insulin is to a diabetic? They can't live without it. Is the Bible critical to you like a mommy is critical to nourishing her little baby? That you cannot be nourished without it. When life gets hard and finances crumble and the loneliness seeps in and the kids run off or the marriage blows up and just sin just wreaks havoc in our life, we must not depend on self, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And maybe in 2018, you've made a resolution. I'm going to read my Bible more each day. Let me tell you, brother. Sister, that is the best idea you've ever had. That is such a good idea. Make reading your Bible a part of your life. Amen. Don't be that statistic that only hears stuff when they go to church, but go home and live it and breathe it. Consider it a date even. Make it a big deal. Dress up. Go downstairs and put on some nice shoes and sit down at your coffee table and read. I don't care what you do. Make it feel impressive. God's word's very impressive. Listen to what God is telling you. Enjoy what dad is trying to speak to you to that day, whatever that is. A Bible reading plan is a great idea. And if you don't know where to go, well, then you're in luck. I have a link down at the bottom of your paper right here, but it's spelled wrong. It's not igonier.org. You got to put an L there. It's ligonier.org. Mess that up. So sorry. But even better, you know what? There's like a dozen reading plans there, but we printed off my most favorite Bible reading plan just for you. It's the 5-day reading plan. I love it because I sometimes don't read every single day. And I'm like, oh, I got 2 days to catch up. Hallelujah for grace. Amen. 5-day reading plan, the whole Bible in a year. It's amazing. This is yours. It's free. It's even blue, so it sticks in your Bible and stands out. I want you to grab this on your way out by Connections booth. It's a great reading plan, a great way for you to spend 15, 20 minutes, even 5 minutes. Just go, you know, just read the New Testament through it. Just do something that's going to increase yourselves in the knowledge of God. Grow, strive to be a forever learner. You can also download our Rock Church app. If you don't have this app, you are missing out. You are incomplete without the Holy Spirit and the Rock Church app. Maybe debatable. It's not gospel. But this is a great resource for you. We have the messages, all of our sermons from the past and current series. We have our announcements and stuff to sign up for. We have the rock music catalog on there. We have the blog from the pastors. And we have the Bible. You can click on read, and we have the Bible on the Rock Church app. So if you're like, oh, I can't reach my Bible, it's on your phone. You're already looking at it when you wake up, right? Because you've already been scrolling through all of your social media, seeing what everybody else is doing at 6 o'clock in the morning. But you can listen to the Bible as well. If you're like, maybe I don't have enough time today. On your drives, you can redeem those times by letting the Bible app read itself to you, which is pretty cool. Seems lazy, but actually, you're fulfilling Scripture. Did you know that in 1 Timothy 4? Do you know what it says? It says, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. So that means if my phone's reading my Bible to me, then I'm technically obeying the Word of God. How about that? Be forever learners. Grab a Bible plan. Grab a Bible. Download the Rock Church app. There's so many resources for you. And equally important, guys, are you in a small group? Are you getting plugged in? Don't try and do everything by yourself. Don't try and figure it all out. There's a lot of weird words in here that I still kind of go, Methuselah what now? I understand, okay? Ask questions. Get in a small group. Be intentional with other men and women. Don't neglect the talent that's in this room. Look at this talent. Y'all are wonderful. This is some good talent. Get involved. Get plugged in to our small groups. Over the next couple weeks, there's going to be dozens of new small groups launching in homes, at the church, at coffee shops. There's men's Bible studies that are meeting 4 or 5 days a week. There's women's Bible studies. There's small groups on parenting. There's small groups on marriage. There's small groups on managing your finances and budgeting. There's co-ed small groups, men, children, babies, a lot of mouth breathers. It's loud. It's sweaty. It's awesome. There's so many ways for you to find a way to keep learning, to keep growing. You can go to trc.life/small group. You can see a list of small groups that are happening right now, and it's going to change because there are going to be a lot more small groups popping up in the next couple weeks. But get plugged in for real. Strive to be forever learners. Real healthy living begins with longing to know God more, and then it's sustained by walking closer to Jesus every day. And it's by striving to continue to make efforts to learn, to hear from God. And lastly, healthy living succeeds. It's successful. You can be successful. Healthy living succeeds by trusting in God. Because God is worthy of our trust, we can know that our joy and our hope and our satisfaction, our improvement, it can be practically attained because we're walking with someone infinitely better, because God will supply every need of yours. Trusting in God believes that God is going to supply me with whatever it is that I need. Trusting God means that I know that I'm not walking alone. I'm walking with someone so much better, who cares about me, who loves me, who longs to have relationship with me, who desires me, who knows everything about me and still is willing to supply me with anything good, is incredible. This means that I can take the focus off of myself and trying to be who I need people to think I need to be, or trying to do what this, I need to do this and do this. Like, you know, I can take the focus off of myself and I can just trust Christ with my life. That means that I can trust him and his grace, that it's sufficient to cover my sins. It means that I can trust God to supply me with everything that I need to love my wife. It means that I can trust in Jesus to supply me with everything that I need to raise my children. It means, God, we can trust you to supply us with the patience to love my enemies. God, I trust and I'm going to bank on the promises that you will supply me with every need to mend this broken heart. And for many of you, you're trusting God to supply the need for you to feel loved or to find a spouse, a longing to be married. Jesus, I will trust you that you will supply me with that need. Jesus, I trust you to supply me with money and finances. I mean, there are none, so I'm really just gonna trust that you're gonna make some show up somehow. So I trust you, God, to supply me with every relief from my temptations, from sexual impurity, from sin. I trust you can do something better than what I could do. That's the daily life of believers. That no matter what we walk through, we walk close to our Savior, believing and trusting that Jesus is able to supply me with everything that I need for this life and the next. There's no one better to trust with your life. When Jesus is navigating every area, every stage, season of your life, we can know that God will work all things for our good. The Apostle Paul said it that way, right? We know, we believe, we're walking with this God. We know him. I trust him. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. That's the truth. Christians, is that you today? With whatever's going on in your life and all the highs and the lows, do you believe that God is going to work all things for good in your life? That he loves you and he cares about your spiritual health in every season? Is that you today, friend, stranger who's walked in, just been coming recently, you're still trying to figure all that stuff out? Is that you? Would you say that is you? I know God. I'm walking with him. I'm learning something every day. Like, I'm trusting him. Is that you? You've taken the focus and the expectations and the works and the pride and whatever it is, all the requirements, you've taken it off of yourself and you've placed it on someone infinitely better. You have to. Jesus commands it. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You give everything up and take Jesus instead. He commands us to hand over everything, to trust him with everything, to trust him with our sin, to trust him with our prone to wander hearts, to trust him with every desperate moment, to trust him with our religion, to trust him with our unmet hopes and dreams, to trust him when we're dissatisfied with life, to trust him when I don't want to trust him, to trust him with all of our fears and our anxieties. Is that you? Would you say, that's me? Jesus perfectly understands every lonely moment. Jesus can guide you through every single crisis in your life. He understands every feeling of rejection and loneliness. And he brings hope to the hopeless. He brings love to the loveless. He's a father to the fatherless. He knows everything about you. He formed you in your mommy's womb. He knows what is good for you. He will supply you with everything you need in this life and in the next. And that kind of God is worth placing at the center of your life. He cares about you. So who's navigating? Who's driving? Who's setting that course for your life? Is it still you? That's not going to end well. Give Jesus all of your life. Give him all of it. Give him your marriage. Say, Jesus, you're going to do something better than I can do with this. Give him your children. Give him your anger. Give him your religion. Give him your pride. Give him your loneliness. Give him your fears. Give him your sin. And get something far greater. You get God. Set the right course. Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is the truth. It is the truth. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself to us and expressing your love for us perfectly by becoming man. Thank you for shedding your blood out on the cross to save us. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood, your payment is sufficient to cover all of our sins. Jesus, you desire for us to have an abundant and healthy, fruitful, spiritual life. You have set the course for our life that leads to true, healthy living in every season of life. Lord, you know what's best for us. I pray over the next few months here as a church that we will be transformed by your word in a way that will last an eternity. I pray today, Jesus, that you would continue to reveal to us what you have to teach us as being sons and daughters of the Most High. Jesus, reveal to us what you have for us in our lives, our contentment, our marriages, with our kiddos, with our money, with our joy, our singleness, our loneliness. Jesus, renew our hearts and give us a desire that wants to walk closer to you with all of those things. Will you guide us and protect us? And Jesus, I pray for those of our friends here today who are not, they're not walking with you. They do not know you in a way that's changed them. They don't feel valuable. They don't feel important, or they may not feel loved. Father, would you draw them into your arms today? This morning, would you help them to see your son Jesus as the treasure that he truly is? And friend, if that's you, you may be feeling like you're not important. You're just wandering and your life means nothing. My friend, the truth is that God loves you. He says that your life is infinitely valuable. You cannot put a price on how valuable your life is to Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you want to know him in a way that will change you for an eternity? You can walk into the new year brand new. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can walk out of these doors brand new. A follower of Jesus, one who is loved and known by the maker of your soul. He has made himself known to you today. He is yours to take. If you want Jesus now for the first time, you can pray with me. You can say, Jesus, I'm kind of a mess. I don't know what's going on, but I think you're doing something new in my heart. Jesus, I have all this sin. I have all this pride. I have all this anger. I have all these fears. There's so much stuff that I don't know what to do with. I'm just going to give it to you instead. Jesus, I give you all my sin. I'm a mess. Will you help me? Will you make me brand new? Will you give me a new heart that wants to walk in the path that leads to eternal life? Jesus, give me a new heart. Wash me of my sins. Give me a new spirit. I love you. I don't know what that means. Jesus, I think I love you. You're doing something. My friend, if that's you, if that's your prayer, I just want to say that's amazing. That is tremendous that God is doing something in your heart today. I want you to run with that, okay? I'm not going to ask you to do anything except you have a piece of paper in front of the chair next to you. There's a pen there. Just fill that out. If you prayed and you want to know Jesus more, you want to be saved from God, you want to be saved and brought to God, you can write down on that piece of paper and you can hand it to us, anybody here, hand it to somebody at the connections. You can leave it at your chair. We'll pick it up. We just want you to know that we care. And we will send you one email. We just reach out to you once or 1,000 times. We just want you to know that we're here for you because God is here for you and he loves you. We pray that you'd make that decision today, my friends. Jesus, we're gonna sing one more song. We're gonna raise our hands. We're gonna sing loudly about how amazing your grace has been towards us because it's true. We love you. It's in your name we pray.